Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I use the Complete Idiot's Guide to the Bible.
Unqualified.
Why can't my kids come into the service? Because we have PG-13 services.
Unqualified.
That has a nice ring to it. Unqualified. I've always felt that way.
It wasn't a compliment.
Junior church has taken over. It's designed for elementary kids or junior higher.
Who doesn't feel unqualified?
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Why is this a bad idea? Let me count the ways. Welcome to church, in air quotes.
Just a small town girl.
Oh, I get it. It's Journey singing Don't Stop Believin', the perfect opening worship song. This is Wretched Radio. You see, it's got the word believe in it. That's sort of Christian. And are we all on a journey? Ba-boom, ba-bing, what do you have? Sunday morning worship featuring Journey.
Born and raised in South Detroit.
They gotta have that voice thingy that deals with pitch. This is a trend that I do believe it is time to stick a fork in and perhaps reconsider what we are doing as a church. How did we get here? How did we get to the place where we thought it would be a good idea on Sunday morning to use a Queen song for our opening worship? Yeah, that's a church, y'all. You can thank the Seeker Sensitive Movement for these shenanigans. They decided, and when I say they, I'm thinking Robert Schuller, Bill Hybels, Rick Warren. They went out into the community to ask, hey, what could we possibly do to lure you back into church? And the response was, entertain me. And we happily obliged to varying degrees of success. And it does seem that for a bit, it worked. We surveyed the goats, asking them, what do you want? What are you looking for? And it turns out what they apparently were looking for were really bad knockoffs of Aerosmith worship. That's a church. Now, wasn't that, Jimmy, you probably don't remember, you're a country boy, the Aerosmith song, wasn't there something that everybody thought was satanic about that song?
I don't remember.
If so, that would explain why this church is using it. The point is, the seeker-sensitive movement tried to give people what they wanted. If we are going to follow their motif, their modus operandi, by going out and asking the world what they want, I think it's time to take a new survey, because I believe the results will be, we're done with the nonsense. Enough with the chicanery. We don't want to be amused anymore. We want something. Get ready for this. Traditional. Historical. Taking them back, not to the 80s, but taking them back to the first century. To demonstrate, hey, you're a part of something big here. And it does seem, at least according to the American Spectator magazine, which is typically mostly political, doesn't shy away from religion. It's too ecumenical for my taste. But they dedicate an episode to the Fifth Great Awakening, seeing hints that maybe there's some shaking and some settling in the Christian scene in America. And they wrote a number of articles that brought me to the conclusion of something that you and I have seen with other statistical models and with a recognition that God wants his worship regulated based on what he desires, that these new trendy ways, not only are they sub-biblical, they have a pathetic ecclesiology, but they ain't working. What are people looking for? Historic. Let me take you on a survey of different articles that were written inside of the American Spectator that I think will make the case powerfully that if you're a pastor who is tempted to become amusing, or you're an elder and or just a parishioner and you want the church to be little bit more snappy, Daddy-O, because we're current, we're hip, we're relevant. We're going to lose the next generation. It appears the next generation is saying, we don't want that. We want something serious. This first article appears to be a little off point, but it isn't. The religious bifurcation splitting America's future. And it cites the cultural shifts in religion. In the early 70s, 1 in 20 adults in the U.S. had no religious affiliation. By 2021, 30%. Hey, that's some explosive growth, especially with the Gen Zers. They're at about 40%. What are we seeing in America? The rise of the nuns. But as we are about to hear, we're also seeing the sloughing off of traditional mainline Protestantism that went liberal. And the growth of the traditional, back to the article, just because a significant portion of Americans have left houses of worship over the last three decades doesn't mean that religion is fading in the U.S. In fact, the opposite might be true. Tell me more. 1972, 17% of all Americans were classified as evangelicals. We all know that just because you are classified as an evangelical doesn't mean you are genuinely born again. Nevertheless, we're working with the numbers here. In the early 70s, there were 35 million American evangelicals. In the 2010s, 75 million. That's tripled. So the nuns are rising, but not at the expense of American evangelicalism, which appears to be growing. But the question is, why is it growing? What are people looking for? What is causing people to seek out evangelicalism? I would try to make the case that it ain't Aerosmith they're looking for. Oh, see, that's the it. Good Lord will take.
That's it.
I owe this church an apology. I didn't realize Aerosmith had written a worship song. Not only have evangelicals grown in size by 40 million, the overall religious devotion of these evangelicals has never been higher. Now, I have no interest in debating that. But this particular article goes on to state why. Who's growing out there? What is the conservative wing that is actually growing and why? Now, it's not just happening in Protestantism, where we are seeing conservative traditional growth, meaning a loftier liturgy, singing songs that go back to, say, before 2000, having a higher view of church, not necessarily the incense and the chanting, but something that's a little bit more reverential. So back to the article, Roman Catholics in the 70s. About half of all Catholics reported attending Mass every week or so. That percentage, pew, only a quarter of Catholics are weekly Mass attenders. That's the lowest percentage of any Christian group. You say, what does Catholicism have to do with us? In the last few years, there's been an explosion in parishes that offer traditional Latin Mass. What? Reports indicate the number of participants in this expression of the Catholic faith has grown rapidly while attendance at contemporary masses continues to wane. Thanks to Vatican II, we decided let's get rid of the chanting and the Latin. Let's be hip, daddy-o. Let's bring in some guitars. Let's stop with having orders, in other words, the religious orders or the religious garb. And what's been the result? People are not flocking or staying with Roman Catholicism. Why? They jettison the traditional, and it's making a comeback, and this can be instructive for us. Please note, we would be equally pragmatic as the traditional seeker-sensitive movement with their rock and roll shows if we said, well, hey, that's what the culture wants. They want something traditional. That would be pragmatic, and that would be wrong. I'm not trying to make that case. I think the Bible teaches us what we should be doing in worship, what it should look like, how we should recognize that we're connected to centuries and centuries of other born-again believers. And that is what people are finding attractive. This is an encouragement to be encouraged by the old ways that God determined. I have to tell you, the people who thought about worship before us spent more time considering it. They thought it through more. Let's go back to the article. This points to a reality that scholars of religion have been aware of for decades. Demanding religious traditions tend to retain adherents and attract new members at higher rates than religious groups that do not require much of their followers. Well, isn't that fascinating? The seeker-sensitive movement jettisoned all the demands. Hey, come as you are. Wear your pajamas and bunny slippers. Just please come to our church. And you don't have to change nothing. We're just going to amuse you. And guess what? It ain't working. In any religious tradition, any of them, whether it's Roman Catholic, whether it is Eastern Orthodox, any historic faith that has decided to contemporize, lo and behold, people aren't digging it. They aren't flooding to it. But they are indeed finding churches that are earnest and serious. And Pastor, this ought to encourage you to keep preaching the Bible, have a lofty view of God, the Word, and of church. And surprise of all surprises, they will come. This is Wretched Radio. Might I, first of all, thank you for the hundreds of wretches who supported Masters Academy International last year. And if you are now perhaps intrigued by what they do at Masters Academy International, would encourage you to check them out. Yes, we're doing a Bible distribution program with them, but they're training pastors around the globe. Seminary-trained students at the Master Seminary return to their native land. And they get plugged into a Masters Academy International mini seminary outlet where they teach indigenous pastors how to rightly divide the word of truth. It's brilliant. And these indigenous pastors trained at the Masters Seminary train indigenous pastors. Brilliant. It is a wonderful ministry. And you could be supporting a pastor, you could be supporting a seminary overseas, and you'll be strengthening the local church. You can do that at wretched.org/pastor. Wretched.org/pastor.
Are you ready to go on an adventure that tackles life's biggest questions head on? Well, we invite you to join John Fabares and Jake Ream on a riveting journey in Road Trip to Truth Season 4. This season, they're hitting the road to explore deep questions about sin, atheism, racism, and the very nature of truth itself. Through candid conversations with university students and wisdom from experts, this season delivers some unwavering answers from a biblical perspective. Whether it's understanding the realities of heaven and hell, navigating the complexities of marriage, or uncovering the truths about money and forgiveness, Road Trip to Truth Season 4 will be your guide. It's perfect for youth groups, families, or anyone who seeks to defend their faith with confidence. Road Trip to Truth has been more than a series. It's a tool for sparking meaningful discussions and inspiring a commitment to the gospel. So if you're ready to head out on a road trip, buckle up for the truth. Road Trip to Truth Season 4, available now at wretched.org/4.
Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in it. It's a little complex out there with the internet and ordering pills. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. They provide free ultrasounds despite the accusations of all pro-life clinics. They are holistic. They do care about the mommy too. And they care for the family and they provide training. And it is literally a way that if you have the means, you can be saving a life. Amazing ministry. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Important dates in Christian history. 270 AD. A wealthy young man named Antony gives away his possessions and begins life as a hermit. Disciples follow his example, and the first monastic movement began. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Please, don't thank me. Thank Jimmy. Maybe the right word is blame.
Laodicea Records is proud in some sense to bring you Aerosmith Worship. Aerosmith Worship will exhort you to follow the model we have in Jesus.
Oh, that's painful.
The world is under the curse, but Aerosmith will help us find the path.
There's something wrong with the world today. Something's wrong with our eyes.
So get ready to gear up your faith to walk on water, just like the Apostle Peter. Surrender to Jesus with Aerosmith Worship, available now.
I could spend my life in this sweet surrender.
Oof.
Every moment spent with you.
Didn't think Christianity was erotic to the core or something like that. This is Wretched Radio. Let the trend die. Let seeker sensitivity experience the funeral that it has long earned for itself. It is time that we reject becoming cool and contemporary. And no, we don't ricochet into being stodgy, old-fashioned, and dressing out of time with contemporary fashions. No. But it appears that people, they want something deeper. They want something more profound. They want something rich. They want something more demanding in their religion. The American Spectator, I don't know if they were intending to make this point, but they did repeatedly in their recent edition, dealing with what they call the Fifth Great Awakening. We'll see about that. Quote, groups with stringent rules about marriage, family, worship, and dress, such as the Hasidic the Jewish movement that is most demanding, is actually growing rapidly. On the other hand, are you familiar with the UCC, the United Church of Christ? Down 53%. United Methodist Church, down 37%. ELCA, down 43%. How's about the PCUSA? All liberal Protestant mainline denominations, down 60%. What has happened in America? I think a revealing that shenanigans, liberalism, being progressive, not having traditions, not feeling the need to be a part of anything other than perhaps being a somewhat regular attender, it ain't working. This is from the American Spectator. Some scholars claim these denominations made religion too easy. They didn't require members to set themselves apart from the world. So they developed life hacks. They certainly got progressive in their politics, but nothing that ever demanded conformity into the image of Jesus Christ. Now, this particular article goes on to conclude, when we see this bifurcation of worldviews, meaning nuns on the one hand as being the dominant movement, and on the other hand, not mainline Protestantism, that's dying on the vine, but evangelicalism of the traditional sort, and even a growth in Roman Catholicism in some sects, and in Eastern Orthodoxy in some sects, we're seeing a bifurcation, which means that if you think it's acrimonious today regarding political issues, it's only going to become more extreme. As you've got people who are more serious about their faith, even if it's wrong, than traditional values, even if they're not necessarily grounded in the Bible, versus the nuns, get ready. The cultural shift, this is a quote, may put an end to the American experiment because of religious polarization. That was that article. But then the American Spectator had odals of articles on religion. Young believers, this is another article from a Mary Frances Myler. Can you guess what religion she is? Young believers are fueling a renaissance of Catholic culture. You're probably not familiar with the Sisters of Charity of New York. They were founded in 1817. And in the mid-19th century, they grew and they grew. 1,300 sisters in the 1960s. Today, 154. They're all in their 80s. And they're not accepting new members because they're just going to shut it down. Why? What happened to this order? This was the height of Christian living, according to Middle Ages Catholicism. You are set apart. You wear different clothing. You don't enjoy anything. That's top shelf Christianity. What happened? The Sisters of Charity isn't the only Catholic religious order with an aging population. As of 2022, 4 out of 5 orders aren't growing. They're not even accepting applications. In an attempt to modernize Catholicism following Vatican II, many orders abandoned their traditional garb, including the Sisters of Charity. Nuns traded in their habits for modest blouses and skirts or slacks. But it appears young people today don't want 1970s-style Catholicism. 93% of women who entered religious life in the Catholic system in 2022 chose an order that wears the habit, as did 65% of the men. Am I saying that's a right expression of religious dedication? No, it's not. In fact, I would argue that is more of a Pharisaical approach. Look at me. Hey, I'm different than you. I'm religious. So I don't think it's biblical, but that isn't the point. People don't want frivolous. They don't want trite. They want something that calls them up. That seems to be the mood of the day. And if it happens to be in alignment with what the Christian faith should be, then this should encourage us to reject the modern seeker-sensitive model. Each generation of Catholics is smaller than the one preceding it, but those who remain faithful are noticeably drawn to more traditional Orthodox expressions of Catholicism. And the newly ordained priests, they're hurting for them, that's for sure. They're traditional. They don't want Vatican II-style Catholicism. And incidentally, we are seeing, it's not a massive uptick, but we are seeing an increased number of evangelical young people who jettison the silliness of the seeker-sensitive movement, and they find a home in Roman Catholicism and Eastern Orthodoxy. This is an article by Stephen Greenhut. He said he grew up in a non-Jewish home, met a woman named Donna, who grew up Catholic. We were eventually married in the Episcopal Church and then attended various denominations as we embarked on our careers and started a family. So here's a guy who was raised sort of in a Jewish home. He claims that he got saved or he became evangelical, marries a Catholic in an Episcopal church, and then is bopping all over the place trying to find a home. Nearly 30 years ago, we found ourselves living in a small city in Ohio where I worked as the editorial page editor of a newspaper. We bopped from church to church and found the experience depressing. After attending a service that combined smarmy music with altar calls, that's a lot of evangelical churches, I'd finally had enough. I thought there must be an alternative to emotional, non-denominational services and atrophied mainstream congregations. And so what did he do? He found himself in the Orthodox Church, which, guess what? It's actually growing in America. It is Eastern Orthodoxy, if it is nothing else, it feels Eastern. It is definitely culturally distinctive in the way that it presents itself and does church and even builds churches. And guess what? It's growing. Wall Street Journal article said some Orthodox pastors across the U.S. experienced a growth of 15% or more. And this is a fascinating reason why. COVID-19, that was a part of it, played a role. But others were drawn by the ancient faith's traditional teachings and the beauty of its worship, which of course is venerating of icons, but it's different. It ain't Aerosmith. It is people are attracted to it because they see it's actually something that's set apart from the world. We've had enough of the world. The world is making us sick. We want something transcendent. We want something beautiful. And guess what? The Eastern Orthodox Church has grown from 66 Antiochian parishes to 275. Quote from the fellow, "I was initially drawn to the beauty of its liturgies and icons and its embrace of church history." And look at what we evangelicals have done. Snipped the cords and replaced it seriously with Queen and Journey? I learned to appreciate the long and grueling schedule of observances and fasts. Pastor, parishioner, have you been tempted to perhaps make church just plain easy for everybody? Hip, cool, contemporary. Perhaps a little social science and the Bible will persuade us to do otherwise. This is Wretched Radio.